Hello and welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. I'm Ray Hager, standing in for Sam Shad. Today's guest is the Reno Gazette-Journal's own Anjanette Damon, perhaps the best investigative reporter in the state of Nevada. That's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
40 years ago, Hotel California and the theme from Rocky were number one on the pop charts, and D&D Roofing and Sheet Metal started on the road to becoming Nevada's leading roofing company.
I couldn't be more proud of what we've achieved.
And over these 40 years, we've become an employee-owned company. So when you're talking to any employee, you're talking to an owner.
And here's to the next 40 years.
Happy 40th birthday, D&D Roofing and Sheet Metal.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
ProGroup Management specializes in providing industries with the necessary components to satisfy and exceed workers' comp requirements. Every business has unique needs and specific regulations. ProGroup Management stays ahead of the curve, providing up-to-date services to keep your industry in top form. Discover how we simplify your tasks, improve efficiency, and reduce expense to keep you moving in a positive direction. ProGroup Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Ballot Question 3's proposal to deregulate electricity in Nevada would have serious consequences. In states that have tried electricity deregulation, average residential rates are 30% higher than Nevada's. California's overall rates are nearly double. And Question 3 would be locked into our state constitution, making it very difficult to repeal, no matter how much it costs Nevada consumers. Please join me in opposing 3. Thank you.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
Hi, we want to welcome back to Nevada Newsmakers Anjanette Damon. She's an investigative reporter for the Reno Gazette-Journal, and I think perhaps the best reporter in the state of Nevada. Anjanette, you and I worked together at the RGJ until I retired at the end of 2015. And since then, I've really seen a rise in threats and a rise in violence against journalists. I refer to the shootings at the Capital Gazette in Annapolis, Maryland, where 5 people were killed. And recently, I wanted to ask you about this, is that the journalists at the Reno Gazette Journal had taken live shooting training just in case someone ever came into the Reno Gazette Journal with violent intentions with firearms. Can you tell me what was that about, or what did you learn from that?
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely a response to that shooting, that tragic shooting in Annapolis. I think Gannett, you know, the RGJ's parent company, as well as the leaders of the RGJ, want to make sure that we have a safe work environment. And in today's day and age, you know, it's not just newspapers. A lot of different workplaces face that kind of active shooter threat. So, you know, the Reno Police Department actually offers this training. We had a Reno police officer come in, and it was about a 2-hour long training. It was interesting. They went through, like, the psychology of a shooter. They went through kind of things that might happen in an active shooter situation. It happens very quickly, and they discussed some strategies. It should be, like, ingrained in my memory now, shouldn't it? But it's hide, run, hide, fight. That's right. Those are your kind of 3 options that you can do. So you just kind of have to assess the situation and do one of those 3 things. It's kind of a surreal experience because a lot of the examples that the officer gave of live shooting situations, we as journalists were on the scene for those. The IHOP shooting, right. The shooting at Sparks Middle School, you know, mass casualty kind of events like the air races crash. All these are kinds of things that he went through. And so it's kind of a reminder that journalists are placed in these situations a lot, and it's it's tough. It takes an emotional toll. And you don't often think of yourself as maybe the one sitting in that victim's chair, that you're going to be the one targeted. So it's kind of hard to come to grips with a little bit. But, you know, we're all out there doing our jobs and not going to stop doing it.
Well, do you see in journalism today, is there an underlying fear where journalists are maybe looking over their shoulder when they go out to events or even in the newsroom?
There's two different things, right? There's, I've been a journalist now for 20 years, and there's always the danger or the concern that somebody you write about will take issue with what you've written, and because of their health, their state of mind, any number of factors will focus in on you as someone that they may want to perpetrate violence against. You know, I find myself talking about this in kind of a clinical terms because that's how I try and view it. But that risk has always kind of been there. And I think anybody who's been in the business has confronted a situation where they've had angry words hurled at them, threatening phone calls. I've had terrible emails sent to me by individuals. But then you also have the larger kind of environment now, and I think sometimes politically people will try and conflate the two, where you now have political leaders who make it part of their political rhetoric to attack the press. And, you know, I've been at President Trump's rallies, and it's definitely a different kind of tone, undercurrent, the energy that he kind of incites in the crowd, and often that will... He'll turn it right to the reporters who are, in the room covering the event. And that's a different kind of thing, that kind of anger that's being stoked among, in different kind of political camps. I do think that's different. And sometimes, you know, people will conflate, and sometimes maybe words spoken by a leader that are critical or even threatening, demeaning of the press may reach an individual who might have that kind of mindset that wants to do violence. But I do think that they're kind of two different things.
Well, you know, it's something that maybe has heightened over the last couple of years. But I remember early in my career at the Reno Gazette Journal, a disgruntled reader who was upset about something that was in the paper drove his truck through the front door of the Reno Gazette Journal.
Wow.
So, you know, this isn't something that just started.
Right.
And when my last day on the job at the Reno Gazette Journal in November of 2015, I covered Donald Trump's first presidential campaign rally in Reno. Actually, it was the Sparks Nugget. And I really sensed a vibe there because he did bag on the press and encourage people to boo us. And I'd never seen that kind of vibe before. It was an uncomfortable vibe.
Yeah, I mean, just to say, there have been other candidates who have like been critical of the media, but the energy that he stokes, like when the entire crowd turns around and faces you and is like shaking their fingers, and you just feel—I mean, it's almost like a physical feeling that energy that turns around. It is very different than any. And I've covered a lot of presidential and vice presidential candidate rallies, and those rallies are very different.
Well, it seems to me it's changed just in the last few years, regrettably, since President Trump has been elected. Do you see the same? Do you think there is a line of demarcation with his election or his campaign?
I mean, he has taken it to a new art form. I think prior to that, there were starting to be candidates. I'm trying to think of specific examples, but candidates who are critical of the press and trying to kind of turn this, like, you know, MSNBC is evil and Fox News is good. And you started to see those, you know, even just people who consume news splitting into different kinds of camps. But yeah, he's definitely taken it to a new level.
Okay, I want to talk about politics, but let's take a break. We'll be right back after these few messages, more with Anjanette Damon of the Reno Gazette Journal.
Hanoi Jane Fonda, sitting on an anti-aircraft gun aimed at American planes. She says she's just posing for pictures. Here's Congresswoman Jackie Rosen. She's just posing for pictures, too, at a campaign photo op. But Jackie Rosen was supposed to be at work in Washington that day, voting to help Vietnam veterans dying from Agent Orange. Now we learn Hanoi Jane raised Jackie Rosen money for her campaign. Get the picture? NRSC is responsible for the content of this advertising.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
Hi, I'm Eric Robnett, owner of Home Energy Experts. Has this ever happened to you?
Honey, did you remember to turn down the thermostat?
Forgetting to set the temperature? Not fun. We can help. Our new smart thermostat keeps the temperature set for your comfort all by itself.
I'm feeling hot now.
To increase your comfort, go to homeenergyexperts.com for details. That's homeenergyexperts.com.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
Hi, welcome back to Nevada Newsmakers. Our guest today is the renowned journalist, Anjanette Damon of the Reno Gazette Journal. And Anjanette, one of the maybe the most provocative and hard-hitting stories that you have written that I can think of is your four-part series that was published last year about Death Behind Bars. Was the name of it. It was about a spike in deaths in the Washoe County Jail since Sheriff Chuck Allen had been elected in 2015. Now, Allen isn't running for re-election, but one of the captains that oversaw the jail at the time, Heidi Howe, is running for sheriff. And in an op-ed piece she did for the RGJ, she basically blamed the medical provider, NAFCARE, for all the issues at the jail, kind of washing her hands of it. What do you think? Is this an issue that will play out in this election?
Yeah, I mean, I want to caveat by saying I'm not covering the sheriff's race, so, you know, I have not interviewed at any length either of the candidates on this issue. But I did read her op-ed piece, and I know she is really trying to focus the attention on NAFCARE, which is the contractor that provides healthcare at the jail. When I did that series, we found problems with NAFCARE. We also found problems with the way the deputies were trained. We found problems with the way that the jail cells were set up that would allow inmates to commit suicide, like threats that had been identified prior and had not been fixed. So, yes, NAFCARE was an issue. You know, they weren't providing, according to Captain Howe at the time, the necessary mental health services that were required by their contract. Inmates were reporting problems with getting their psychiatric medication. It's really important to keep yourself on that psychiatric medication that you're used to keep you stable. If you get off it, you start spiraling down, it's really hard to get stable again. Mm-hmm. So that was a huge issue. But to say that the sole fault of is the sole fault of NAFCARE that these deaths were occurring, I don't think is not accurate. We had issues with, police restraint deaths, excited delirium, where deputies, you know, would pile on an inmate who was going through, quote unquote, excited delirium, and in the manner in which they restrained them and hastened their death. So those were homicides that, you know, NAFCARE didn't necessarily have a role in that, other than maybe not identifying that this person was in medical distress. But the deputies weren't trained for that either. And then the suicide issue, where yes, NAFCARE plays a role, whoever the jail's contractor is plays a role in that. But there are definitely multifaceted issues, systemic problems, I think, at the jail that needed to be addressed to fix.
Okay,
the issue.
You've covered all sorts of government, federal government, state government, but now you're covering the Reno City Council. And one of the things that's coming up with the council is it seems that they want to almost legislate morality in trying to with in cases of the strip clubs where they want to make it illegal, lap dances illegal, and any touching illegal. The city council seems to have been fighting with strip clubs and owner Cami Kashmiri in particular for almost like 3 years. And where does all this stand? Are they going to move those clubs out to an industrial park? Are they going to make them, are they going to pass this ordinance where no touching is allowed? Or how do you feel about that? Or what's going on?
Yeah, it's interesting how far this has gone, because 3 years ago, Neoma Councilwoman Neoma Jardin asked for a moratorium on new strip clubs to give the city time to write new ordinances to better regulate it. And in that time, just that moratorium, which I think was really focused on that sign that really, you know, at the Wild
Downtown,
Orchid.
The Wild Orchid.
On the corner of California and Virginia, and you have the strippers on the signs, and, you know, a lot of the community members were angry at that. It's kind of morphed into this, like, more, this longer debate that goes so above the sign. You have the economic development folks who say that Reno's image needs to shed itself of these smut perpetrators, as they might call them. The council really felt that strip clubs send the wrong message in the downtown core. And then you, the people with Awaken, the anti-sex trafficking group, got involved and are saying, look, these clubs are places where women can be preyed upon. And so now, yeah, there's very restrictive operating restrictions that they're looking at. No lap dances, no private rooms. You got to light the place, video surveillance on everything. And coming back this fall will be this ordinance that would require strip clubs downtown to close their doors and move into the industrial areas.
One last thing real quick before we take a break. They say that strip clubs hurt revitalization of downtown. And has there been any studies to prove this or any kind of facts to back that up?
Well, that is a real frustration of Cami Kashmiri, the owner of the three strip clubs, that the Reno itself has not come forward with data that suggests that any of this happens. They have not come forward with calls for service, with arrests, with police complaints, with studies that say that, you know, property values are declining. Instead, they argue that their arguments on a legal basis, that the Supreme Court has found that cities can rely on other studies to basically assume that these kinds of activities have secondary effects, and cities can take action to regulate businesses to prevent these secondary effects. So that's really the crux of a lot of this argument. Can you, on a legal basis, assume that these clubs create these negative effects, or does the city of Reno need to come forward with data that proves it?
Okay, I got some more questions for you, but we got to take a break. We'll be right back after these few messages with Anjanette Damon on Nevada Newsmakers.
I'm Jonathan Scott from Property Brothers. I'm a Nevada. Let me tell you why I support question three. I've seen energy choice work. Customers in states with real energy choice have seen their rates drop by 14%. Solar companies are ready to build projects in Nevada if question three passes. They'll provide energy at a lower rate to residential customers than the NV Energy monopoly. Don't believe the no on three scare tactics. Question three is about your right to choose cheaper, cleaner energy. Get the facts.
Hey guys, are you watching the game at a friend's or the bar again because you can't watch at home with your wife? Or worse, because she kicked you out and kept your couch, your flat screen, and your kids? What's the one thing a man needs when he loses a good woman? A good lawyer. And when he loses a bad woman, he needs a great lawyer. What makes a good woman a bad woman? You tell me. You're the one that can't watch the game in your own home. I'm men's rights attorney Marilyn York, and I represent men in divorce, custody, and family law matters.
Hi, I'm Dave Newman. Remember me? I used to be the house detective, and now I'm a realtor, full-time at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates. A lot of people ask me, how's the market? You know what? It's fantastic. If you're even kicking around the idea of buying or selling, give me a call. Let's talk about it. Call me at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates and just ask for the guy who used to be the house detective, Dave Newman.
Everyone is talking about opioids, but they're not the only drugs that can be harmful if taken in large quantities or not as prescribed. You also need to be aware of side effects from anxiety drugs, muscle relaxants, sleep aids, and stimulants. Mixing prescription drugs with other drugs or alcohol can be dangerous. If you take an Ambien with a glass of wine, it may be enough to stop you from breathing. Prescribed drugs can be just as dangerous as illegal drugs. Take medications only as directed.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
Welcome back. We're with RGJ reporter and Jeanette Damon, who I think is the best reporter in Nevada. We've worked together for many years. Okay, Ann Jeanette, let's go back 10, 15 years when you were covering the state government, state house, the administration of Governor Jim Gibbons. Now, Governor Jim Gibbons, while he was governor, he divorced his wife in office. We see the same thing now 15 years later with Governor Sandoval and his wife divorcing while Governor Sandoval is in office. Back when Gibbons was getting divorced, everything about that was like front page news, not only in the RGJ, but in the Las Vegas Sun and the Las Vegas Review Journal. But fast forward to the Sandoval administration, and there was nary a peep, unless I missed something. What do you think? What was the difference here in the reporting? Is it that there are just fewer reporters to ferret these things out, or how do you see it?
Yeah, it's a very stark difference. And again, I don't cover the State House now. I don't cover Governor Sandoval. I haven't, you know, reported on his divorce at all. So it's an outsider's perspective. But I will say controversy just kind of swirled around Jim Gibbons from the time he was, you know, running for office. And if you remember, that woman in Las Vegas came forward and accused him of trying to sexually assault her in a garage. The other thing is there's different kinds of divorces, right? Sometimes people part amicably. Sometimes there's a very messy divorce. And Dawn Gibbons was not going to go quietly. And she hired a lawyer who was a pugnacious lawyer. And their divorce was very contentious. And a lot of these issues, I think, came kind of spinning out of that. But you had issues like, you know, Governor Gibbons using his state cell phone to text who may have been his girlfriend. He had issues with whether or not there were people being harassed in the administrative office at the time. There are all these other kinds of issues that were just swirling around Governor Gibbons, where Governor Sandoval is, you know, he's been a cautious. He has a very different personality. There's not been scandal around, you know, this governor at all. So from an outsider's perspective, that's what I observe.
Okay. Let's go back to city government. Of course, Mayor Hillary Sheevy is running for re-election, and she'll be running against the same guy she ran against last time in Eddie Lorton. What do you say? Do you feel that this is Eddie Lorton's time, or do you feel that Sheevy has a pretty clear road to re-election?
Mr. Lorton gets upset with me when I say this, but he has an uphill battle against the mayor. She's an incumbent. She's well-liked. The difference between this election and last election is she's been mayor now for 4 years, so she has a record that Eddie Lorton can try and call into question, which he didn't have before. But generally, you know, people are pretty supportive of the mayor. She won the primary by a large margin. Unless something really spectacular happens, I think she's probably going to win re-election.
What do you see as the biggest issue? Is it affordable housing? Is it crime? Is it the issue with the strip clubs? Is there an issue where this can turn on this campaign?
I mean, people, anything having to do with growth, housing is a huge issue, not just, you know, the homeless, but just, you know, people with jobs being able to afford to buy a house. But then, like, where, when you build subdivisions, where are they going to be? People are really upset at kind of the sprawl and, you know, the flooding in Lemon Valley and the big Stonegate development out there. We have Daybreak that's coming next week for council approval. People get really wrapped up about that, those growth and development kinds of questions. The strip club. clubs, they play, that plays all the time. People are kind of split depending on who you ask, whether they like this idea of moving them out, or some people just want to keep Reno gritty even if they don't go to strip clubs. So there's a lot of issues at play. I don't know that I would pick one that it could turn on. And, you know, generally the mayor, what she's been criticized for have been these kind of one-offs, right? There's the issue with the flag on top of City Hall.
Now, wait a minute. That was where they flew the
Pride flag.
LGBTQ flag and not the American flag. Is that correct?
Yeah. Okay. So she's taken a lot of heat of that. One thing I haven't heard come up, which I'm a little surprised about, was the issue with Andrew Klinger and the city manager and how that investigation was handled and how his departure from the city was handled. I haven't heard a lot of talk about that, and I thought that might be an issue that would come up in this race. But
it seems like it would be an issue for Eddie Lorton to jump on, because he could be very critical of the mayor, no?
I mean, he could. But the other thing is, there's still the Me Too movement out there, right? And the city council did remove Andrew Klinger from the city. So it's kind of a touchy. I'm not sure how that plays one way or the other in favor or against Hillary Sheevy. There were definitely criticisms of how the city handled that to begin with. So we'll have to see where that goes in the next 60 days or so.
Okay, well, I want to wish you good luck with your career and stay safe. And thanks for coming in today. We'll be right back to wrap up the show after these few messages.
A bird's eye captures its surroundings at different heights. At Brian Culpa Photography, we can make your imagination soar over buildings, parks, cityscapes, and beyond. Brian's images tell the story and get the job done. If you need a new perspective to tell your story, contact Brian today. Brian Culpa Photography. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion. For romance. Custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
Take a look at Pro Group Management and see how your workers' comp requirements can be met head-on. By taking a proactive approach, Pro Group can assure that your company is meeting or exceeding state and federal standards. As you move forward in your industry, Pro Group moves with you, simplifying regulatory tasks, clearing the way so you can get the job done, and look to your future success. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Thanks for watching. Next week, Sam will begin his series of interviews with Nevada's congressional delegation. And first up will be Nevada's Senators Catherine Cortez Masto and Dean Heller. That's coming up next week on an all-new Nevada Newsmaker.